I thank you, God, for most this amazing day, for the leaping greenly spirits of trees and the blue true dream of sky, and for everything which is natural, which is infinite, which is yes. E.E. Cummings is one of my favorite poets of all time. It may be because he tosses out punctuation, or he makes up words, and he speaks in backwards sentence fragments. I simply have had a very long time love affair with his poetry. I was introduced to him when I was about 14, I think. But there's another reason that I love E.E. Cummings. It seems that he can truly capture joy and any attitude of gratitude in such a holistic way. Well, at least for me. I read the previous poem in full to close out one of my very first youth retreats. It was held up on a high, high hill overlooking a valley. And every time I read it, still, it brings me to such a place of gratitude and a memory of taking in creation, a deep breath of not only fresh air, but God's Spirit. I'm grateful for Cummings. I'm grateful for poems and songs and reflections that enhance my ability to worship and cause me to pause and realize just how blessed I am to be walking on this planet filled with diversity on and in communal creation. Especially Psalms, when they intersect with spiritual reflection, you know, in deep study. Now, the Hebrew word for psalm, as enthusiast and writer Stephen Mitchell tells, is a mizmor, which means a hymn sung to the accompaniment of a lyre, you know, not the person that tells fibs, the instrument. But when the ancient rabbis named the anthology that we know as the Book of Psalms, they called it Sefer Tehillim, the Book of Praises, which is the dominant theme in many of the greatest psalms. Rapturous praise, a deep, exuberant gratitude for being here, Mitchell says. Gratitude is the first of the four practices we'll engage on our tour de Paul this summer in her book Living into Community. To remind you, those practices which we will be tangoing with are promise-keeping, truth-telling, gratitude, and hospitality. Why tackle gratitude first? Well, as Paul writes, because the Christian life is primarily a response to the generous, redemptive, and gracious love bestowed upon by God, our Creator. Christian community then responding in gratitude shifts the attitude towards the other central practices of faith communities. Gratitude, it seems, has a strong domino effect on how we engage our day, our life. Changes in gratitude, changes in attitude. Huh, that kind of has a ring to it, doesn't it? Yes, with the gratitude adjustment, our attitude and practice of truth-telling and fidelity, our ability to offer a truly hospitable welcome can be nothing but more Christ-like. Not to mention, as believers, it is with gratitude and a spirit of reflection that we're called to participate weekly, as commandment number 4 does tell. So, what is and how do we mindfully acquire a sincere practice of gratitude? Well, gratitude, as Mitchell alludes and many psalms express, is when the mind is in harmony with the way things are seen, that is a good world, that this is a good life, and death is good. It feels the joy that all creatures express by their very being and finds its own music in accompanying the universal rapture as expressed in Psalm 98. Let the heavens and the earth rejoice. Let the waves of the ocean roar. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains rumble with joy. Let the meadows sing out together. Let the trees of the forest exult. Or, as presented in today's featured text, Psalm 100, raise your voices, make a beautiful noise to the eternal, all the earth, serve the eternal gladly, enter his presence singing songs of joy. Know this, the eternal one himself is the true God. He is the one who made us. We have not made ourselves. We are his people, like sheep grazing in his fields. Go through his gates, giving thanks. Walk through his courts, giving praise. Offer him your gratitude and praise his holy name. Because the eternal is good, his loyal love and mercy will never end, and his truth will last throughout all generations. This posture of gratitude is where we must begin each day, dare I say, remain so as to shape our moments and our years as we grow and quest towards our Maker's ideal. As Mitchell's translation of Psalm 1 is written, blessed are the man and the woman who have grown beyond their greed and have put an end to their hatred and no longer nourish illusions, but they delight in the way things are and keep their hearts open day and night. They are like trees planted near flowing rivers, which bear fruit when they are ready. Their leaves will not fall or wither. Everything they do will succeed. Beginning here each day will indeed offer us a significant and effective attitude adjustment. Yep, changes in gratitude, changes in attitude. look, I can't help myself but modify the words of modern-day psalmist James William Buffett, a.k.a. Jimmy Buffett. These changes in attitude, changes in gratitude, nothing remains quite the same. Through all of the islands and all of the highlands, if we couldn't laugh, we would all go insane. Okay, maybe not as eloquent as King David, but have you ever hung out with a parrot head? You know those Jimmy Buffett junkies? I mean, they're typically all clad in tropical shirts, and I tell you, it seems to be a perfect Father's Day attire and attitude to me. They really seem to get how to enjoy life. Or do they? Because I have a feeling that if having a good time is all that somebody cares about, as soon as their margaritas wear off, parrot head positivity can soon run its course. I know plenty of folks who offer thanks to Allah or the old American Dollar after having a good day or making the dean's list or getting that promotion or even a good grub on their plates, but honestly, if it's not deep-seated, it's usually temporary. Ah, but gratitude, which is God-centered, scripturally expressed as an embedded way of life, it is so much more. One of the best ways to engage or re-engage an attitude of mindful gratitude is as we gather as believers, collectively reflecting on the goodness of God. I mean, just consider the call to worship in our order of worship for a minute. We are called to worship, honoring the Sabbath in worship within a community that reinforces and shares the same heart of worship, which is gratitude. Now, the word gratitude comes from the Latin word gratia, which means grace or graciousness. Many other liturgical and worship-centered words, such as the Greek word charis, which means grace and thankfulness and thanksgiving or gratitude, the Greek eucharista, from which worships the Eucharist or great thanksgiving comes when we do the Lord's Supper. We give thanks for Christ's sacrifice and a gift of forgiveness and grace, and there can be no argument that gratitude is at the heart of our weekly Sabbath gathering, especially in the Disciples' Fellowship. The teachers of Paul reiterate this idea when in Ephesians he addressed the believers, telling them at the heart of their gatherings they should give thanks to God the Father of all times and for everything, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What better place to begin your week in heart, head, and hall space? And soon, if we're sharing the good news and not the bad news, we will be with grace able to offer the change not only we but this world needs. Because as Paul states, when our lives are shaped by gratitude, we're more likely to notice the goodness and beauty in everyday things. We are content, we feel blessed, and are eager to confer blessing. We are able to delight in the very existence of another human being. In such communities, we often will witness abundant forgiveness and frequent celebrations. Celebrations like Pentecost and Graduate Recognition Sunday and, well, Father's Day. Today, friends, is Father's Day, a day in which many express gratitude for their Heavenly Father and also for those who fathered them well. Now, out of respect for those whose earthly fathers were absent or abusive who have passed away, I dare not diminish the sadness that can find its way into the hearts of the wounded on days like these. However, when we look beyond failed personhood and towards the God-inspired parents and parental figures that have helped shape our lives and graciously modeled grateful living, I'd say we have every reason to rejoice and be glad, ready to stand and read psalms and sing praises for the gifts in this world God has provided, especially those fathers and father figures in our lives who have loved us well. So let's do that. Please join me in prayer for the fathers who have touched our lives. For those who are broken, let us make peace, and for those who are past, let us remember them with fondness, and for those who still bless us with grace and presence, let us give thanks. Shall we pray? We give our thanks, Creator God, for the fathers in our lives. Fatherhood does not come with a manual, and reality teaches us that some fathers excel while others fail. We ask for your blessings for them all and forgiveness where it is needed. This Father's Day, we remember the many sacrifices fathers make for their children and families and the ways, both big and small, they lift children to achieve dreams thought beyond reach. So too we remember all those who have helped fill the void when fathers pass earlier or are absent, grandfathers and uncles and brothers and cousins and teachers and pastors and coaches and the women of our families. For those who are fathers, we ask for wisdom and humility in the face of the task of parenting. Give them the strength to do well by their children and by you. It is in your holy name, O God, we pray. Amen.